This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Julia Brufke-Wanger, founder of Phoenix Tax Consultants, home of the Tax Tacklers. It's tax season, and I genuinely understand the complications and frustrations that go into preparing to file. I believe that taxes should not be a do-it-yourself activity. You should leave it to the professionals. My team of next-level tax experts can help you find a new way to do your taxes and a strategy to get top results. Schedule your virtual or in-person appointment today at TaxTacklers.com.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops, but not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker, because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer, not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
It's not the end of everything, it's just the end of everything you know.
Oh, man, Kevin.
KNC, who cares? Back here, 105.3 The Fan. How did everything go so wrong so quickly?
It would have been the first time since 2015 they would have had a chance to win the championship.
I mean, they were in the Final Four a few years ago.
They didn't have a chance that year.
Quick Cliff's Notes. I do love...
Excuse me? All right, so somebody texted in and they were like,
I am broken right now.
They texted in and then Kevin snapped back at them really harshly. No, I'm just joking.
Supposed to be Duke basketball. And I don't know what just happened.
They said, just messing with y'all. And I replied back, you can't mess with Kevin right now. Cooper Flagg is hurt and Kevin is playing sad songs on his phone.
In the break. I'm just not going to look at the fan text. In the break, I was playing Mad World by Gary Jules because Cooper Flagg is in a wheelchair now. Malik Brown got hurt. It's all falling apart.
Who do they play for, Kevin?
They play for Duke.
Hey, which, since you dumped that,
yeah.
Will we be able to use it for Masterpiece of the Week tomorrow?
I'm just going to believe it. Yeah.
All right, good. Because,
hey,
wow.
The story was going to come from a heartwarming place, but how I was 6 years old when the Final Four was at Reunion Arena and Duke was playing in that tournament. Can't say it anymore. And I was like, oh, I like them. They're wearing blue for some reason. I thought that was neat or whatever because I was a little kid. Fell in love with Duke. Loved Duke ever since then. It's all collapsing.
Who did they lose to there?
And then they lost to Louisville and never nervous Purvis Ellison in the championship game. And now their players are getting hurt. I'm saying inappropriate things on air while trying to tell heartwarming stories. Maybe I'll get a phone call from my wife. I don't know. It's all collapsing on me at this moment.
They've won five, maybe six championships in your time.
They've won five.
I lost count because I was scrolling up. Yeah, man, they've won five championships since then. How many have they lost since then? Do you know? Have they lost any?
Yeah, no, they have lost a bunch. They lost in 86, they lost in 90, they lost in 99.
Well, they haven't lost as many as they've won since you got involved.
Okay.
From the 214, I'm watching on YouTube, so I caught every bit of that. Somebody please hug Kev. He gonna cry.
And then I just made a weird proclamation. I was trying to say basketball, and I was like, you know what? You didn't even have. I mean, I know you have to edit it for FCC rules, but otherwise, you wouldn't have to.
Carter already has the video of it.
From the 425, it's not like they traded Luka. I mean, valid.
Okay, Southwest Airlines, I saw your bit earlier on.
Dang, dude, that really stinks for you, for him, and for all Mavs fans that thought we had a shot at getting him. We don't know the update on the injury right now.
No, though, we don't. So. But he needed help getting off the court, and now he's in a wheelchair going to get examined. So he doesn't feel great.
I think it's obvious he just needed to take a load off. I think it's pretty obvious, because otherwise it would have snapped.
If you listen to the beginning of the segment, I am clearly in favor of taking a load off. So
have you seen it?
Nope.
Oh, I'm not doing it. Slow-mo, his ankle hit somebody else. His foot landed on somebody else's foot, and then it rolled his ankle.
And then from the 9-0-3, technically, if they've only won 5, that means they've lost all the other ones.
And the 915, Kevin, I'm a UTEP fan. We haven't won since 66. Okay. Calm down.
It's fair. That is fair. All right.
You're right, buddy.
You know, I could have lived without that thing that I just said to go along with all of the misery, but
I'll never forget it.
If people enjoys it, I don't know. I'm broken. Somebody else needs to take over the show. I am broken. All right.
I'm going to have to find a run sheet then.
Let's talk. What? Let's talk about baseball. The best lineups heading into 2025 where the Rangers fit. All right. Do you look at this lineup, and we can run through like what the projected lineup is going to be, and think this is one of the best lineups in all of baseball?
All right. Are we all in agreement? And I know there are people out there that think he shouldn't be and think he won't be for long. But to start this season, Marcus Semien is leading off at second base, correct?
I think that is probably accurate.
All right. And then our two-hole hitter, Corey Seager. That is going to be that because you want to get those two guys as many at-bats as possible in every game. That's the whole goal of having them 1-2. We are in agreeance that Wyatt Lankford is third?
Yes.
Wyatt. All right. Who's four? Adolis?
Not Cody Bradford.
Healthy Adolis Garcia?
I think not going to be ready for the start of the regular season.
What has happened in DFW with all the injuries? Think about this for a second. The whole Mavericks team is injured, all right? Whole team.
Yeah.
Rope hit in the face with a puck. Dak got injured for the rest of the season last year. Tore the hamstring off the bone. And then the Rangers, you saw what they went through last year. What's going on? I mean, even Tyler Sagan's hurt. Can you believe that? Almost that ever happens.
Okay. Well, that one, that's at least lie. I've had more time to process, and that did help facilitate some of the moves that you were able to make. But
Cody Bradford.
Yes, I know. Cody Bradford. They said the MRI was clean, but he's still going to start the regular season on the IL. That is very concerning to me because, like, hey, Corey, we went through your background check. It's clean. But we're not going to hire you, and we're going to look over you for a while.
You're an idiot.
That it feels like there's like it's clean, but there might be something else happening there.
All right, so
he's in a wheelchair. I don't know.
Maybe he is. That's a possibility.
That was a flag.
I'm trying to figure out, is Jock better right behind Adolis, left-handed bat right behind Adolis?
I think so, because then would you transition to Young
or Berger? This is a great problem to have.
I think I'm going to go Young, but I got you.
Young, Berger, and we'll go with Heim for right now. And let's go ahead and put Evan Carter in center field, even though it could be him, Tavares, Pilar. It could be any of those. That right there, dude, is a murderer's row all the way up to Jake Berger. Jonah Heim, I don't have a lot of... He's got to prove it to me again this year, unfortunately.
If Higgy started to roll and took over a bunch of that spot.
I'm excited about Higgy. Yeah. I'm excited about Jonah Heim whenever Jonah Heim's in ball, whenever he's locked in. Last year, it just looked like there were times where he was just mad at himself. He couldn't get his swing right. He was swinging too big. He wasn't swinging short enough. There are lots of different things. So that little spot right there. And then Evan Carter, I have a lot of confidence in getting on base, doing his thing if he's healthy there too. So Semien through Jake Berger. Murderers Row. I love it. I love that lineup.
Which I think they're at least a couple spots too low. So CBS does have them in the top 10 of their lineups heading into opening day. They've got the Rangers at 10. I would probably move them up to 8. If you still want to slide them behind the Orioles and Yankees, I get that. But I would put them ahead of the Diamondbacks and the Padres. I know people can argue some of these points, but the point is, it feels like it's a really good lineup. I would probably move it a little bit higher.
Here's the one thing that I need to... I want to temper everybody's expectations, okay? We are just assuming that Semien, Seager, Adolis, Young, Evan are all going to go back to having career years the way they did in 2023. A lot of people are just kind of like, oh yeah, now that we've made these additions, those guys are there. They're gonna hit that way. So the assumption is,
and that's not based on anything, especially with Evan Carter.
Yes.
Like, sorry to jump in there, but at least I can see more of a track record because some of these players have been in Major League Baseball for longer. Evan Carter is just really hard to figure out because he had a quick ascension through the draft and then through the minor leagues. And then he had one of the most incredible rookie postseason runs we've ever seen. And then last year he was hurt.
Yeah, no, you're dead on there. The Marcus Semien overtime, we've seen that every other year is a good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. We're in a good year. So Marcus Semien should have a good season. I am perfectly fine saying Corey Seager is going to have a good year. Health is a question mark, but yeah. I'm perfectly fine saying if he's healthy, he's having a good year. We have a big question mark on what Wyatt Langford is, but we at the moment, I feel like it's nothing but we're looking at ceiling for him right now.
Now, to go along with this, I know we were talking about the teams, by the way, which lineup, I know this is going to be a really difficult question, which lineup do you think is at the top of the power rankings? I know, difficult question.
I mean, I guess it's the team that's going to win the NL West, the Padres.
As I just told you, the Padres are ninth on the list.
What?
But, hey, don't listen to everything I've said today,
this team,
even in this segment. The Dodgers are number one. The Mets are two, rounding out the top five. The Braves, the Phillies, and the Red Sox.
That Dodgers lineup looks so fun. To have Teoscar Hernandez in right field. Look at the top of the lineup.
Shohei, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, Max Muncy. That's the first half of your lineup.
Yeah.
Now, a question to go along with this, individual power hitters. I know we said we like the power of this team across the board in terms of the balance and everything. Who would you put as the number one power hitting individual in all of baseball?
In all of baseball?
Yes.
Aaron Judge, probably.
Aaron Judge is number one. How would you guys break it down after that?
Would Shohei be next?
Shohei is number two on the list. And this is from MLB.com. So
okay,
it goes Aaron
right.
Judge, Shohei.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like that's probably a pretty accepted 1-2 punch right there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I would probably go with those two first. I'm not sure where it falls after that.
Juan Soto is third.
Dude, as far as, like, he's just the hitter. You know, like, I guess Shohei kind of falls in that category. Aaron Judge did too last year.
Yes, but Juan Soto is, I was going to say the worst of them defensively, but I guess Shohei, yeah, no, I might actually stick with that. Juan Soto, third on the list, then Bobby Witt Jr. and Yordan Alvarez.
Really? Bobby Witt Jr. has made his way into being that type of a power hitter. I like it.
And I think that's what makes him so amazing already. Obviously, he's young in his career. He set a single season's Royals record for WAR. He's been a he looks like a batting average guy. He had a great batting average last season, but there's pop. To
oh, yeah,
go
definitely.
Along with it, and I think that makes him scary overall.
It's interesting when you pass up Yordan Alvarez, you've done something, because that dude, like, he is dangerous. He's at the plate. Pitchers absolutely fear him. They're doing everything they can to keep the ball out of his area, which is huge swaths of the strike zone.
Now, Yordan Alvarez is number 5, the rest of the top 10. Vladimir Guerrero, Jose Ramirez, Gunnar Henderson, Bryce Harper, and Kyle Tucker, who you remember already started out 0-for-20 in spring training. Do you have any issues with specifically Seager not being in the top 10 individual power hitters? Do you think that's a reflection of this past season?
Maybe, but he still had really good home run numbers for being, you know, out as much as he was. I would probably bump Kyle Tucker for him. That's okay. Just kind of how I would do it. I'm interested where, like, the Nelly De La Cruz lands on this at some point. You know, does he get his power up to the point where everybody's like, oh man, he's in that involved in this too? Will Wyatt Langford ever make his visit on this?
It seems like yes, because
I don't know if you've heard, Kevin, but whenever he hits the ball, it sounds different.
I have heard that. But in the others receiving votes category, so there's 10 essentially honorable mentions. Elly De La Cruz is in that group, as is Corey Seager, as is Wyatt Langford. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, what grade would you give the selectively aggressive Cowboys to start free agency? Plus, 2 weeks out from the start of the MLB regular season, we've got some spring training superlatives. All of that. And the Frey ticket giveaway next on The Fan.
Making a big play for Tennessee. Flacco steps up in the pocket, throws a dart, batted up in the air and picked off. Intercepted by Murray.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. What would be the grade you would give the selectively aggressive Dallas Cowboys to start free agency? Also, if you want to know, I continue to play sad songs in the break. I reflected a lot on what I said to start that segment, and Cooper Flagg came back out and sat on the bench.
If he's injured, I mean, he's sitting on the bench. He's wearing his uniform. He's not like in street clothes or anything.
And they had him in a wheelchair.
Maybe he's a little bit of a diva like Paul Pierce and Dwayne Wade. I don't know. But it was his ankle. It's not like it was his shoulder or his pants were filled with pudding.
Mm.
But that being said, if he is not able to play during the NCAA tournament, should that affect their seed?
I could see that. I wonder if they win the tournament without him.
Because right now they don't have, do they have Brown out there right now? No. So they're without both of them.
I think if they were to win the tournament without him, then they would probably still be a number one seed. But if not, I could see them getting dropped to number 2, Cooper Flagg is the best player in the country.
Yeah.
He's out for the rest of the game, by the way,
okay,
with the ankle injury. You were pretty much like saying that without officially say.
Oh yeah.
But
sorry, man.
No, that's a fair question.
I know this hurts your sports soul right now, and you have to do a radio show.
It really does. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I need the Rangers to start like 16-0.
Yeah.
Because with the Luka trade, the plethora of injuries, I am a fan of Duke basketball.
Mm-hmm. The Stars are good.
Yes, that is true. That's a good point.
Stars are carrying this for us.
Well, right when I needed them, they took like 4 days off.
They did take a long time.
Well, they'll be back
time.
At it tomorrow.
We'll have Brian Ray on with us tomorrow at 10:20.
Absolutely. And they still have an opportunity to take the top seed in the Central, perhaps have home ice throughout the Western Conference playoff.
I think the biggest, honestly, I'm not lying about this. The biggest thing about the Stars right now, they're playing fun hockey.
That's true.
And that for me, that's like, I know Saturday night didn't turn out quite the way we wanted it to. But for me, the rest of the way, I just get to watch fun hockey and a fun team that I feel like is going to be really good as we get to the playoffs.
Now, for the Cowboys from the 214, they've given a C+ to the Cowboys. A lot of potential, no guarantees thus far. I'm curious, the Cowboys said they would be selectively aggressive, and the aggressive part was for Osa. The selective part feels like it was for pretty much everybody else.
Okay, let's throw this into the mix. I am trying to play devil's advocate in the conversation here more than homering it up. The players that they added, again, none of them are stars by any means.
Sure.
They are pieces that fill voids that they needed. Jerry said he wasn't looking for free agency for it. Most of them they've traded for. these pieces, they re-signed their players and then traded. So they didn't sign guys, but they traded. What do they trade for, though? Players that were less than $6 million.
That's what they do.
Like that, they even sought out and trade. Hey, who else is making under $6 million that plays the position we need? Let's go see if we can offer a fifth or a sixth for them and still have some picks to work with whenever the draft comes along.
I might sound like a chump for saying this because Yahoo, for example, gave them a D- for free agency thus far.
Very fair.
And said extending Osa was big, but it was another offseason of low-level additions that won't help Dallas catch Washington or Philadelphia.
Getting caught off guard by Jordan Lewis, not being able to retain him.
Right.
Probably takes another slice off of it. Like they were planning on getting Osa back and getting him back.
Yes.
I feel like. And so losing that probably drops my grade down to a C.
So I'm just going to say this, and I want to make this very clear. By no means am I insinuating anything about them catching the Commanders or the Eagles or anything like that.
No, they're wanting to do that in the draft.
But the trio of moves yesterday I liked with Elam, Murray, and Sanborn because it spoke to clear deficiencies in, I don't even know if you want to say talent as much as you want
bodies.
To say bodies. Yes, that is a perfect description that are missing from the Dallas Cowboys. And so if you're picking up a couple of linebackers, you're picking up a cornerback, at least you're getting closer to what could look like a full team before you get to the draft. And that's been my worry all along. I hope we draft unbelievable studs that go out there and dominate this year. But my concern was they're going to be like, all right, we need another interior lineman. We might need two linebackers. We might need another cornerback. Looks like that's who we're drafting in the first four picks. I know offensive line is on the list as well, but I didn't want them to be in a position where, quite frankly, I think the last two first rounds they've had to reach for somebody who fit what they needed on the team.
Yeah. Now the way, and this is kind of what they do. Like they build this type of team in free agency, which is, do we have something we can get for about $3 to $5 million?
Right.
And can we fill those things so that we are good to go and we can pick that? And I do think that they can pick, if they have the best cornerback there, they can still get one. And they can say, this guy is going to be more talented than the guy we just traded for, but we're good. And if they need to wait around and miss out on that guy, they're like, okay, we feel comfortable with that. We may not feel completely comfortable with it, but the Cowboys and their personnel department does. And they're probably going to still look at, after the draft, they're going to still look at some things and go, were still a little light there. Hell, last year, Kevin, they were light on pass rushers going into training camp.
True.
And so when once they got to training camp, they were like, we need to sign this guy, this guy, this guy. Losing DeMarcus Lawrence is a significant thing for the sake of two things, Kevin. And I'm sorry if we're talking about that somewhere else.
No.
Losing DeMarcus Lawrence stinks because he's a player that is really good at what he does specifically. Good at stopping the run. He does a lot of other things other than pass rush. It's another person that spent a decade with the Cowboys that isn't going to get a championship with them. And a guy that probably, you know, deserved it too.
Yeah.
With the work and the emotion and the care that he put into this thing. That being said, he was injured a lot and that was a problem. And the team suffered from it when he wasn't out there because he was paid a lot of money to do a certain job and the injuries stacked up on him. It stinks. I don't love it. But losing him, that's going to leave a void. That's going to leave a hole for the Cowboys to fill.
So I wanted to run through this and just get y'all's initial thoughts. So these are the players that are gone. Zach Martin retired. DeMarcus Lawrence went to the Seahawks. Jordan Lewis to the Jags. Chuma Adoga to the Jags. Chauncey Golston to the Giants. And Rico Dowdle to the Panthers. Now, what you kept or brought in, you agreed to deal with Javonte Williams, agreed to a deal with Robert Jones, agreed to a deal with Peyton Turner, agreed to a deal with Jack Sanborn. You traded for Elam, traded for Murray, signed Solomon Thomas, and then kept Osa, Cavante, Hoffman, Bell, Thomas, Sig, Wheat, Goodwin, and Anger. How does that balance out? Does that balance to neutral? Does it balance to worse?
That's where I am with C. Like,
okay.
The C grade, it's neutral. I am there. They didn't change my expectation of this team at all. Does that help with the, like, it didn't make me go, man, we got that guy. I'm excited that we got Eberflus. I think this defense can be tough. I really do think that, I know Zimmer, like, we were expecting that. I saw what Eberflus did up in Chicago and I liked their defense a lot. I really did. And I'm expecting him to bring that here. Will he always have the players for it? I'm interested to know that. Will they be healthy enough? That's another factor. But I like what he did, but there's no player specifically that I just go, wow, that changes everything for this team.
How does the fan base, do you get the sense, and we could ask y'all right now, how do you feel about the departure of DeMarcus Lawrence? Franco and Frankel, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. Because I know the one thing that's going to come up for sure, right, besides the injuries, is that we were just too burnt out or whatever at the Super Bowl, right?
From the 469, ain't nobody a run stopper. He was just a name that was overrated because of his name.
Ooh.
I'll agree if you're saying that, like, trying to sack the quarterback, he did not accomplish that. He did not. He added pressure, but he did some other things that the Cowboys told us they loved. And when you watch it on film, you're like, man. That dude can still do what he does well. From the 469, how are you burnt out after a playoff game? He should have been cut right then.
And
that's how a lot of people feel. But Kevin, there was, I mean, don't forget what he was a good player during that run with Romo, where it ended with the Packers.
Yeah.
There were a lot of other things, but he did miss a lot of time. That's the only thing for me is that I was like, man, when is his foot going to act up on him? And it always felt like it was going to be a foot injury.
And it's tough when you see the contractual numbers because you have to know the real from the fake, right? And you're like, I admit I fell into this trap for half a second when I saw 3 years, $42 million for DeMarcus Lawrence. And I was like, get the heck out of here. Are you kidding me? Like, good for him. And then you see only $18 million of it is guaranteed. And does that mean realistically it's more like a two-year $18 million contract, because that can change your entire perception about whether or not you would have wanted him back.
From Swaggy Booties, Kevin just sports sacrifice flag for the Stars to win. Appreciate that, Kevin.
I would make that deal.
From Nocturtle.
That is tremendous.
Usually they just wait a couple weeks and scrap the bottom of what's left and then reply on from PKM. Instead, this year, they proactively went and found the bottom.
Man.
So they got out there before.
Because you thought it was going to be positive.
Yeah.
And then somebody threw out there, you can't spell selectively aggressive without average. Now,
is that true?
You'd have to steal
letters from both
one
words.
Of those A's. You'd have to double up with the A because there's two A's in average. But I think that is a very clever observation. And from the 817, I get this, but I'm not going to fall into this category before the season even starts. The deepest recesses of my mind definitely think this. What's the difference? The Cowboys are going to be the Cowboys, might squeak into the playoffs, and then lose straight away.
There is nothing that will change anybody's mind until they go further.
And even us, who probably want to dispute that, it is really tough to argue at this moment. I don't know. Have you seen all these moves? It feels like they're ready to make a run, even though the other two teams in their division, sorry, Giants, were the last two teams left standing in the NFC, and then one of them went on to go win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that you've caught either one of those teams or even made a dent with either one of those teams, but I also haven't completely hated how they've done free agency thus far, and I know a lot of people have.
Yeah, that was kind of the thing the last few years. They kept telling us, guys, we're not afraid of anybody in our division right now. Like, that was literally the way that they were building their team. They were like, we're good enough to compete with the Eagles, and nobody else is even catching up to us. I think last year did kind of, hey, guys, you're now number three in your division because they are lapping you. Oh, to the point where they even brought back Noah Brown, and I'm like, that's another good move.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think he's great, I'm just like, yeah, Washington just keeps adding good moves to this thing because those things allow them. Let's say they wanted to trade a receiver. They can do it. Last year they traded a receiver. They can do those types of things because they're deep, and they're deep and talented.
I'm curious to see what the next moves are. I forgot to count up. I'll go check over the cap or SpoTrack to see where the Dallas Cowboys are salary-wise.
They got plenty of money left over.
Yeah, my guess was going to be somewhere plus $30 million.
Let's go ahead and sign Micah right now.
I haven't seen the contract breakdowns of how all, especially the multi-years work and how the money will play out with all of those, but I have to imagine they still have more than 30, maybe close to high 30s on their salary cap left. I know some of that will go to the draft class, but as you just mentioned, and as we've talked about a few times, if you can get that extension with Micah done, that will just about take care of your draft class. In fact, I actually think it might be more or about what you need for your draft class. And so you could still have money out there. I just don't know who the players are out there that you would want to chase, or if maybe you could take on more salary with a trade because they've already been busy in that market too.
I was very, coming out of college, I was very high on Kenneth Murray. I was very high on the player coming out of college because I liked what I saw whenever he was playing at Oklahoma. He has not quite lived up to what I expected him to be. However, he can pile up tackles in the middle of your defense. And I know Brenda Song's really big on how they use their middle linebackers. In the interior part of your linebacking crew, he can be an effective player for you and pile those up. And with Eberflus, I'm hoping that, because he's a linebacker-minded coach, I hope that he can seize that big physical body. I know Eric Kendricks was what he was, but his body's aging, and I don't know how much money he's willing to come back for to be part of this defense and maybe compete with another guy.
Now, a couple of things. I think you're spot on with something. Whether you think Murray or Elam or go back to the day before, these were respective first-round picks in 2020 and 2022. There's a reason you were able to trade very little for them, because they have absolutely been disappointing.
The first time I remember the Cowboys doing this, by the way, was Mark Colombo. When Mark Colombo got to the Cowboys, everybody was like, the hell are they bringing in Mark Colombo for? They got this guy, this guy, this guy. They're good there. And Bill Parcells said he was a first round pick. I can't remember how high it was, but it may have been like top four or something. It's something weird. He was a high first round pick, and it didn't work out for Chicago. And maybe a little knee problem was the problem, but they released him, and we can pick up a guy who had the pedigree of a first round pick. The talent's there. And that's the thing about, like, when you start talking about, hey man, these fifth round picks, the fifth round picks might be really good at one thing. The higher you get up in the draft, the guys you have are very skilled at lots of different things. And that's really what you're picking them for and paying them for, is that they're good enough to be good at a lot of things rather than having just one little trick that they can do. And that's where, when you look at that first round, you start saying the Cowboys do this consistently. They'll pick up players that are former first rounders that they think they can squeeze something out of because change of scenery is good enough.
Sanborn is an interesting one as well, because while when the Cowboys signed Javonte Williams, people are like, oh, Detroit doesn't seem to care. It feels like Chicago cares about this one. Because first of all, people are like, well, why wouldn't you even tender him to try to prevent this from happening?
Very good point.
But people seem upset.
Or get Bears, higher picks from, you know, comp picks.
Or Bears fans seem upset about this. So that's an intriguing part of it as well. Somebody just asked, what about Von Miller? Look, I firmly believe that the Dallas Cowboys are going to get Von Miller. If you want the betting odds, here's what it looks like.
He is DeMarcus Ware at this point.
Fair.
He is a pass rush specialist.
Yeah.
So that you're not getting nothing but that, and he has been one of the best in his time as a pass rusher. So that is whatever money you are paying him is for very specifically one thing, and I feel like it's what Micah already does, but I could be wrong about that.
The Kansas City Chiefs are the leading candidate to pick up Von Miller at 3-1. Jets, 4-1. Dallas Cowboys, 9-2. So let's just boil it down, 4.5-1. So the Cowboys are in that mix for Von Miller, at least per the gambling lines. They have them at third behind the Jets and the Chiefs. Corey, you're right. I don't dispute any of that. This just feels like a move that the Cowboys would make.
We'll because, be all in.
Yes, I know, Jerry, because they're going to be all in. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and if you could give me cut number 10, I would appreciate that. We need to talk about those Texas Rangers.
3-1 count to the Rangers shortstop. Crawford, the windup and the pitch. Seager swings, hits a high fly ball right center. Abreu turns, he watches that one out of here! Into the Rangers bullpen! Seager goes deep for the second time tonight.
Our buddy Sean McFarland threw out some Ranger superlatives for early and spring training, and we can go through those, but I also feel like it's about...
Let's give something away!
877-881-1053, caller number 10.
Now!
We'll win a pair of tickets to go see the Fray when they come to the Southside Ballroom on Friday, July 25th. You can go buy the tickets, of course, or you can win them for free right now. Caller number 10, 877-881-1053. Now, I'm assuming you want me to start with positive superlatives. Or do you want a negative superlative?
At this point, really, with all this Cooper Flag news?
All right, let's go negative.
You'd want some positivity in your life.
I interpreted that as you wanted the negative.
All right, here we go.
Sean McFarland, the maybe don't panic, but award.
Cody Bradford.
See, and that is fair. It actually went to Evan Carter. Oh. But we're going to help update the story today. Because with Evan Carter, it's, hey, he started out 0 for 7 with 5 strikeouts against left-handers. I think he missed like 8 of the 12 pitches that he swung at from left-handers. That is concerning.
He's not even seeing it.
And then there's Cody Bradford, who something's just, it feels off.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I know it's different because DeGrom has more of a history with this, but last year's like, oh yeah, no, DeGrom's probably fine. We'll see what happens. And here, hey, Cody Bradford is going to be off for 4 or 5 days. Then he gets the MRI and they say it's clean, but he won't be ready for the start of the season, which is in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we went from 4 or 5 days to at least 14, I guess probably more than that, days because the MRI was clean. That doesn't make sense to me. And maybe Jared's going to call and be like, hey, you stupid idiot, this is why. But it just, something feels off about this.
I don't think you're wrong. I know that they want to alleviate panic and everything, but whenever you get soreness in the forearm, it's very clear, even if the MRI is clean and they're taking that kind of time. Now, my question, I know you're concerned about the player. My question is, you don't have who's your left-handed rotational pitcher? Because what their plan might be is Rocker or Leiter.
Yeah.
And I know they said it's just 10 days, but dude, so what is the plan for left-handed pitching?
Because obviously, even if you went Dane, that wouldn't work either.
Yeah. So there's nobody really there for that. And honestly, it is just kind of a change of look. There's a lot to it because you got a bunch of guys that are pounding right-handed pitchers. you're going up against a team that weekend and you're just like, oh crap, this team hits great against righties. We don't have a single lefty to throw at them. Good luck to us. So they got a, I don't know if Jordan Montgomery is still a trade option with Arizona or wherever things are going there.
All right.
I know we didn't bring back Heaney, and that stinks now kind of in that place, but we were really, you're really relying on Bradford to have a good season.
In case you don't remember the deal with Jordan Montgomery, this is the owner, right, for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Essentially, he was like, hey, why did the team not do well? And he goes, man, you know who was really not good this year? Jordan Montgomery.
Look, I know the team wasn't great, but this guy...
And so so we all kind of thought maybe he would be made available.
He was like, I'll wear that too. That was me. I screwed up, guys. Yeah,
he was really adamant.
Freaking bum.
I know about how stupid that deal was. He's still on the team for another year. And so we kind of thought, hey, like maybe he would be made available, but nothing has particularly happened on that.
He's supposed to get his next start on the of the spring on the backfield. So
okay, that's Bradford or Montgomery. Okay, so it's not going.
Yeah, a simulated game. So he's not even pitching against real hitters yet.
The Spirit of Travis Jankowski Award goes to. I think you might get this.
Travis Jankowski seems like he would be the guy.
Well, wouldn't that just
best
be
suited for it?
Based on what you said when you were on with Sean and RJ at 9:20, and realistically with Bobby, the two words that describe Ryan Lochte are Ryan Lochte.
Yeah,
it's not the Travis Jankowski Award, because then it would go to Travis Jankowski, because
gotcha.
He's the best at janking it up.
Kevin Pillar,
who kind of runs like a little bit of a farm or something as well.
Yeah, he's got some llamas and chickens.
Honorable mention to Luke Jackson, who's yet to allow a run in the spring, and I do believe was the person that Jock Peterson really needed to interview with the nosebleed seats.
Yes,
guys.
He definitely was like, you got to talk to these guys. We have had some texts from fans of teams that he's played for, and they're like, do not let him pitch Atlanta. We had some people from Atlanta saying, do not let him pitch in high leverage situations. He is not a high leverage guy. It's been years since he's pitched in Atlanta. I guess last year. But like that's what they are saying is do not let him. So maybe he found something whenever he got back to Texas. Maybe there's something a little different. But just kind of be aware of that if you are.
Okay, there's one more negative one.
Oh my god,
that McFarland put out, not me, and it's kind of positive. This is the relax. It's March Award. All right. So why don't you just relax, Corey, like Frankie would say. Corey Seager, some people will know what that means. Corey Seager and Marcus Semien are combined 10 for 61 through spring training. That is 163 batting average.
From your top two hitters?
I think that is debatable, but yes. You're saying in the lineup? Okay. All right.
That's definitely they're the top two hitters in your lineup.
But remember, it's the relax, it's March Award.
But you can't have, like, if they're not on base, then it doesn't matter who's hitting three. So they're only on base 16% of the time is bad.
Well, you know what, Corey? I said relax, so I can't yell.
Good point. Good point. You do need to take a load off right now, considering what happened to Cooper Flagg.
You heard the beginning of the 12 segment. You know what's up.
2:30.
All right. I've no doubt. The Texas will be fine if he looks like this all year award. Who would you give that to? If this player looks like this all year, Rangers are going to be just fine.
Ooh, this is it hitting wise or pitching wise? Can you give me a hint there?
Pitcher.
Jacob DeGrom.
Okay. That answer makes a lot of sense. But what Mr. McFarland said was Jack Leiter. So in 10 and two-thirds innings, he has a 2.53 ERA with 13 strikeouts and 6 walks. Keep in mind, I'm pretty sure 5 of those walks were in the last start where we talked about the Leiter coaster. And so that, you don't want to see more of that. But 2.53 ERA, more than 2-to-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio in 10 and two-thirds. It's just a start, and it's just spring training, but that's encouraging.
Do you feel like he gets the opportunity ahead of Rocker then,
yes,
based on his spring?
I think it's partially based on his spring, but I also think Kamar Rocker has very limited minor league experience just because of the injuries and everything. And it would make a lot of sense, I think, to send him down to the minors just to be like, hey, you're still going to be awesome. But like, let's get a little minor league seasoning in there.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful that it can be a calming place for Jack Leiter to be in the rotation to start the season, have a plan that three, four games from now, I'm up. And I get an opportunity to go through my entire process, think it out, and not stress myself out about it, but just prepare for it. And maybe have a few times in the through the rotation that he gets to prepare for that.
By the way, early on in spring training, Higgy has an OPS of 1.553.
Is that good?
That is ridiculous.
I'm excited. I'm very excited for him because that's better than a 0.1553.
That's true.
He has some pop to him, and he's very trusted behind the plate. So I'm very excited for what they can do there. Plus, Jonah being a switch-hitting catcher, too, like that adds that value to what he's doing. But I just hope we're getting tons of great production out of the catcher position, no matter who it is that gets their opportunity.
Now, I've got one more superlative for you. The Timeline Accelerator Award. Does it go to this gentleman in cut number 11?
1-1 pitch swung on, and that's drilled to right center field. On the run, Barroza can't get it. It's all the way to the wall, and Osuna is steaming to third, and he's in there standing without a play.
I think you want him to make the team just because it's your guy.
So there's sometimes, and this might be a misguided way to think about building teams. I understand there's a process, and you don't put just the most like purely talented people out there or whatever the case might be. Sometimes I think you can use a little jolt and switch it up and be like, you know what? This young kid's not ready later. He's ready now.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel that way about Osuna, but then the question will become, but if you're using him as a fourth outfielder, would it not be better to just play him every day in the minor leagues? And I understand that contention as well.
I want to know if he's just a plucky little guy that's out there or if he's something that can develop into like a legitimate, he's got some pop. He's got all those things that go into it. And we haven't seen enough from him to like tell us his complete story yet, but we've seen enough to say, man, he might deserve the opportunity. That's the great thing that I'm seeing about it right now.
So Alejandro Osuna wins the award. Honorable mention though, Sebastian Walcott. So I get it. Probably still more than a year away from the major leagues, but in the 8 Cactus League games he got, he had an OPS of 1.111. He didn't look out of place.
Nope.
He's a giant dude,
yep.
And he's great to talk to. I know that doesn't necessarily factor in to the Rangers decision-making process, but he's got a personality that I think will also make Rangers fans fall in love with him.
Yeah, when he gains the respect of the peers around him, he'll be a leader in that clubhouse immediately. And it's just going to take a few opportunities for that to happen. Moments in front of moments in that clubhouse, man, you could see he's sitting right next to Marcus Semien for a reason. He's sitting between Marcus Semien and Josh Jung in that clubhouse, or he was for a reason. How watch these guys, watch everything they're doing. They may not tell you everything, but they'll let you ask, but they may not just watch the way that they go about their business for a reason. And I'm looking forward to it. And it's not right now, but I'm looking forward to him because you just said it. He looks the part.
Yeah.
Like already he looks the part of a real MLB player.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's Top of the C Block starring Corey Majors.
What's the thing that you got in on way too late? If it was Apple stock, I get it. But was it Cake Pops? Next on the Fan.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.